jump, jump, jump.
Yes, yes, yes. A good Tuesday, one and all. It's Taz and the Moose with you. Back together again right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Mike, Pete, thank you. You're across the way. Bogus, your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Outstanding. Outstanding. Hello, Moose.
Hello. Hello. Good morning.
Hello there. Yes, good morning. Good morning to everyone. Yes.
Chill in the air here in the Northeast. And last night, I mean, what a whooping the Jets took out at MetLife Stadium from the New England Patriots as they fall 33-0. The final, one of the worst picks I've ever made in my life, as I took the Jets plus the points last night. I didn't like the Jets to win the game outright, thank God. But I did like the Jets to keep that game close, and that was a terrible selection. And the Patriots went out there, and basically Sam Darnold played one of the worst games I've ever seen a quarterback play, regardless of experience level. And the offensive line was brutal. The Patriots' defense was amazing. Brady and the offense were able to take advantage of the multiple turnovers from the Jets over the course of the night. And it was a tour de force performance by the New England Patriots.
I mean, you know, I mean, there's a million different adjectives. I mean, beatdown is the only thing that really jumps out to my head.
Yeah, that's a
complete
good one.
Beatdown that the Pats put on the Jets in the Jets' home. I mean, at MetLife Stadium, it was just outplayed on every level, outcoached. Outcoached on level up, big time outcoached. I mean, it was Sam Darnold he looked like a high school quarterback. Like I don't think he was scared. I think he was just ultra confused by the looks that Belichick was giving him defensively, you know, as a quarterback for him to you know, play against. I mean, the score was 33-0, but so yeah. I mean, I'm Captain Obvious saying everything was lopsided from first downs to time possession. The Jets just didn't show up at home. Horrible. It was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of different ways to go. Yeah, it was a terrible game unless you're a Patriot fan. Our buddy John from Orange was texting me throughout the night, celebrating. Enjoying the beatdown and texting and tweeting and all that kind of stuff during the course of the game as he took that one in. There was a lot of Patriot fans in attendance out at MetLife Stadium. Listen, you know, it wasn't like he threw out there some kind of confusing coverage in the secondary. You know, he was playing a lot of zero coverage, and he was sending blitzes basically every single time. And the Jets on both sides of the football, when the Jets adjusted to the right side, he sent it to the left side. When they adjusted to the left side, he sent it to the right side. You know, there was one point in time where Sam Darnold called out a protection and picked up the blitz and called out the number of Jamie Collins, who was coming in free, and the offensive line failed to adjust on that offensive snap. He kept on throwing all the ball off of his back foot. And the Jets, here's where, you know, there was little to no adjustment from Adam Gase as a play caller and that Jet coaching staff, is the very fact of they kept on running these deep developing pass patterns, you know, 14, 15, 18 yards down the field. And the quarterback doesn't have the time in order for those plays to be able to develop. And, you know, that's what makes the Patriots the Patriots. And what makes the Jets is that the Patriots did something to the Jets early where, you know, they were going to blitz and see what the Jets did to adjust to that. And the Jets never adjusted as the night went along. You know, and you've got Darnold being picked up on the ESPN mic where he's like, I'm seeing ghosts out there. Yeah. And he was a little confused, certainly. And he was under duress the entire evening as he felt like he had little to no time whatsoever. They did a great job of keeping him in the pocket. They weren't, you know, over the top in terms of their blitzes where they created lanes for him to be able to run through or run around. It was a great defensive performance in which Sam Darnold got utterly, you know, knocked around and, you know, a little bit confused. And certainly the throws that he was making where he's throwing the guys and trying to give them a chance to make plays on the football on 50-50 balls, it was just so many errant throws. It was just awful.
No, well, that's what I was saying is, you know, they got out-coached the Jets,
yeah,
too.
No doubt.
Because there was no, to the point you just make about adjustments, there was, like you just said, there was none. The offensive line coach, he needs to be talked to. Okay, the offensive coordinator, he needs to be talked to. I mean, Sam Darnold, he's out there. The offensive line, they're out there. You can see where they're screwing up. But I'm just saying, there was no change. There was nothing. There was no adjustments. Like, you're right. I mean, why are you trying to throw the ball deep? Why are you trying to stretch the field? I understand you guys are down by a plethora of points, you know, whatever it was, third quarter, hypothetically. You know, but, you know, utilize a screen. Utilize, you know, a quarterback, a running back in the flat. You know, something. Just get grab 6-7 yards at a clip. Lev Bell, you could see Le'Veon Bell, he wanted to run the ball well. You could see that he was, you know, there were little glimpses of Bell. He's almost like an afterthought, this guy. I mean, I almost feel bad for him. I got to be honest. Like, on this team where there's no the blocking, the passing, the coaching, just it stinks. I mean, Bell had 70 yards rushing. I don't know how he did that.
Yeah.
I don't know how he got that accomplished.
Well, no, and, you know, he certainly got his money in the offseason, but you're right. I mean, in terms of...
Well, not just about the money. I'm saying he wants to play well. He wants to win,
yeah,
you know,
and
be competitive. You know,
he's actually played well in this for the Jets.
Yeah, he looks good.
He does look good. He's been a good teammate. You're right. And there's aside from the Cowboy game, Taz, there really hasn't been much help. I mean, and it's amazing that the Cowboys lost to the Jets a week ago out of MetLife Stadium.
I have no idea how that happened.
I mean, how the hell does that happen? I mean, Jerry Jones would be scratching his head saying, wait a second, this is the team that beat us last week? Give Jason Garrett a call on his cell phone, summoning him to the owner's office down there at AT&T Stadium. But, the Patriots, you know, Taz, they're the best team by far in the AFC. And it's amazing. I don't even think it's close right now. I mean, what team in the AFC is going to give the Patriots a go of it? If they stay healthy and the defense stays healthy, with how well this defense is playing, they're the best defense in the National Football League. There's no question about it. It's the strength of the unit. The offense isn't nearly as dominant, but Brady is good enough, and we know he's 42 years of age, Taz. I don't think there's a team that's close. I mean, all due respect to your Bills, I don't think the Bills will beat the Patriots in the postseason. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs, we saw the Chiefs, you know, lose at home to the Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. And Andy Reid's a terrible playoff coach. I mean, the Chiefs they got to get Patrick Mahomes back and healthy after maybe the next 3 to 4 weeks, back under center. Chiefs going to all of a sudden beat the Patriots in that defense? I don't know if I necessarily see that. I think Brady and that offense would have a go at it against that Kansas City defense. Maybe it's the Indianapolis Colts who've got... Yeah. You know, a great offensive line if they're able to play keep away and run the football and dictate the tempo and the style. But, Taz, you know, maybe you make an argument for the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, I guess you can make arguments for other teams, but from my perspective, you look at the Patriots, as well-coached as they are, executing a game plan, the ability to adjust their game plan based on the opponent they're going up against, I don't think there's really another team in the AFC that's really close to New England right now after 7 weeks of the NFL season.
I mean, the only team I would say, and you said them, is the Colts. I mean, just because of what they can do on the line of scrimmage, what they can do offensively, with that potent, nasty offensive line, and they're gelling pretty well.
That's
the only team I would say. I mean, to answer your question, I mean, yeah, my Bills, and you know, they're in the AFC East. They're right behind the Pats, but they're not. I mean, I think we might be the only team that played them close. I'm trying to remember all their scores, all the beatdowns that the Pats put on everybody. But, I mean, defensively, I think we might be the only team in the AFC that can stick with them. I mean, because of the Bills, that Bills have a very strong defense also. I mean, the Patriots' defense is definitely the best by far. But I would think that maybe the Colts, I mean, but I would think, man, Bill Belichick scheming up against Jacoby, that's a layup for him. You know, that's how I would look at that, but, you know, I mean...
Yeah, it means going into Foxborough and beating the Patriots in the divisional round or on a championship Sunday. I mean, you can make an argument for Indianapolis, and, you know, you just gave the positives for the Colts and what they could bring to the table. Now, we also looked at the Colts and saying, oh, they could do that to the Kansas City Chiefs last year, remember, in Arrowhead Stadium, and they went into Arrowhead Stadium, and the Chiefs lit them up.
Yeah.
I mean, strength of that offensive line, they'll be able to run it, play
that's
keep
true.
Away
I
Patrick
remember that.
Mahomes.
Yeah.
You know, we were both kind of thinking the Colts could give them a game, and that wasn't really much of a game. But you're right, that would probably be the only team.
Yeah, right.
I think the Bills could hang with them defensively. You know, but I do think when push comes to shove, Brady, I have more confidence in Brady putting together a drive as compared to Josh Allen.
Absolutely.
Putting together a drive. And then you look at the Chiefs. I think the Patriots offense would get healthy on that Chiefs defense. It's not a particularly good defense.
Yeah, and the Patriots, no, you're right. You're right about that. That's true with the defense. But the Patriots, like, just looking at their scores, I mean, they put up a ton of points on everyone except the Bills. They put 33 up on the Steelers. They put 43 up on the Dolphins. They put 30 up the first time on the Jets. 16 on the Bills. 33 on the Redskins. 35 on the Giants. And 33 last night on the Jets. And then now they got the Browns coming up. And they're going to beat the lights off of the Browns, too, by the way. That's going to happen. And I think they're playing the Browns home. So, yeah. And that's actually the only time I might want to see the Patriots win a game.
Yeah, it's against Cleveland, right?
I might hate the Browns more than the Patriots, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, but you run through the teams that they played so far.
Same amount of points. It's crazy.
Right.
You know?
It is around the same amount of points. Now, you know, the Colt fan or the Chief fan or, say, the Baltimore Raven fan is going to look at it and say, well, who exactly have they beaten?
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, they beat the Steelers. You know, but that was before Roethlisberger injury. But, you know, the Patriots always beat the Steelers. But their defense was amazing that night, right?
Yeah.
The Jets aren't particularly good. The Giants aren't particularly good.
The Redskins neither.
The Redskins aren't particularly good. And then you look at the one team that is a good football team. They won 16-10.
Right.
And they and up on the road. And the offense was shut down and stymied. And they led that game at one point in time. What was it, 14-0 or 13-0? It was 13-0, right? I think it was. And then they get the field goal. I mean, so, and then they hung on for dear life at the end, and that's with the Josh Allen concussion.
Correct.
As Matt Barkley is finishing that game out. So somebody's going to say, well, you guys are talking up the Pats, and, you know, Moose, you're saying that there's nobody close, but the team that they, you know, the only team that on that schedule that's, you know, actually a really good football team right now would be the Buffalo Bills. And if Josh Allen doesn't suffer a concussion, maybe the Bills win that game.
Well, obviously, I watched that game from finish to end, right? The Bills-Patriots game on September 29th. And I got to tell you, it breaks my heart to say it. I never felt like my team was going to win that game, with or without Josh Allen. So I'm just saying, if you look at the score, yes, everything. You look at the stats, and that game was in Buffalo to the point you just made. That was, it just never felt, maybe it's just me being beaten down from the Patriots for so many years, from the Jets to the Bills, but it never felt like, again, we're going back to last month.
Yeah, no, I get it, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you make a good point, though. I mean, if you think about it, like, who have they beaten? I look at it almost like University of Alabama football, about Alabama football. We were talking about them yesterday. They basically beat up everybody, but they've played no one yet. So it's almost like the first 6 weeks of the season is almost like, a warm-up for Alabama. This is the same thing with the Patriots. They're playing teams that aren't great, and now they're going to get into the meat, as you see, Moose, of their, you know, of their schedule, like the Browns. And then they got to go to Baltimore and play Baltimore on November 3rd. That's a night game. That should be an interesting
matchup.
That'll
be a good game.
That'll be a good matchup. Yeah,
I agree with you. And it's fair what you said about the Bills game, and we don't have to harken back to complete that game. I do think it would have been a lot more intriguing if Allen stayed healthy. The drive deep into Patriots when they had the goal to go scenario, where eventually they failed on the goal to go scenario.
And he's good in the fourth, as you know.
And he is he's a good finisher. He got come from behind kind of quarterback. I think it would have been intriguing to see if maybe they could have punched the ball in. But he goes out with a concussion, and that wasn't part of the storyline. And, you know, last night, a lot of people, myself included, thought the Jets could give the Patriots a game. And for the Jets here, you mentioned Adam Gase. A lot of people were screaming and hollering, saying, well, when he's struggling with Luke Falk at quarterback, it's a third-string quarterback. You got to give Adam Gase a little bit of credit now, or give him a little bit of leeway there. Now he's got his starter back. They come off a victory against the Dallas Cowboys. They're home against the Patriots. The lack of adjustments that you saw over the course of the game last night, and just the poor performance by the team on the whole, Gase is going to get ripped to the high heavens in the New York media. And Sam Darnold, Taz, as a competitor, and I'm a Sam Darnold believer, I got to tell you, though, I have not seen a young quarterback play. It's been a while. I don't know if I've ever seen a young quarterback play as badly as he did last night. And this is his second year in the league. I think last night was his 16th NFL start. This isn't start 4 or 5 of Sam Darnold's career. This is start 16. And he looked downright brutal.
He did. And in I think it was the pregame, they did a little package, a video package on Sam Darnold when he had the mono and he was out. And they talked about it, and he talked about, Sam said himself, how much he got a chance to work and study film and watch the pass, the protection, learn about the protection that the Jets package has from an offensive line and, you know, running back protection. And I'm like, and then the game starts and all this happens. I'm like, well, he just sat home for a few weeks watching video, and, like, I don't know what he was watching, because the protection stunk. He wasn't playing at the protection. to your point about every time there was a blitz, and which was nonstop blitzing, they couldn't pick up the blitz. If they had a back in the backfield, he was non-existent to block a backer or a cornerback coming off the edge. And he was, like you said, thrown off his back foot because he was getting pressured insanely, nonstop. And by the way, side note about Gase. Okay, we know he's strange eyes and he's a wacky dude. By the way, comes out of halftime, and I couldn't help but notice, I might be the only guy who noticed, he packs a lip, right? He packs a lip. I've never seen that before. You don't see him doing it. My point is, he doesn't have, I think it was the first time he chewed tobacco was during this game. He's wiping his lip, and they got him on camera. It's dripping. I'm like, what is this guy doing? I mean, no one else cared about that. No one else noticed. I just needed, that's my inside voice coming out to tell the audience, the man does not know how to pack a lip. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I missed that scene of him trying to put, what was he doing, Kodiak or Copenhagen?
I think he might have been dipping a little Copenhagen. And what happened was, you didn't see him put it in. Like, he kept like, white. It was like early in the third quarter. And he kept, like, and got, guys or people that are new at doing that, like, you could, they don't know how. Like, they're touching their lip, they're moving. Like, I'm like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
He's a strange guy. He was talking to Sam Darnold, like, in the second quarter, and, you know, because Donald was mic'd up, and it was like, I was uninspired. He was trying to inspire the kid, you know, what to do. Halftime, we'll figure it out. It was like the most, it was like acting. It was like he knew Donald was mic'd up. Let me give him some cliche talking chatter so it sounds cool on TV. The whole thing sucked.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the
same.
The experience for me was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it is the same guy that did smelling salts during a preseason game, so.
Crazy Eye Jones. Yeah, yes. he's a whack job. No offense to whack jobs. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he's little to no sleep. That is the case for Adam Gase. Maybe he needs to get a little rest a little bit more. Maybe that'll allow him to put together a better game plan than the one he got last night. Yeah. But it was downright dreadful. As the Jets fall to 1-5 and the Patriots remain undefeated. 855-212-4CBS. Want to hear from you. Is there a team in the AFC you feel good about actually knocking off the Pats? Is it, as Taz and I mentioned, the Indianapolis Colts? Maybe you're a Chief fan. Maybe you think it's the Baltimore Ravens. I want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. It's Taz of the Moose just getting going here on this Tuesday morning. Interesting kind of rumors, rumblings around Tom Brady as well. We'll get into those. Randy Moss interview pregame last night before the Monday Night Football game as well. Touch upon that too. It's Taz and the Moose on this Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Let's
head out to Lynchburg, Virginia, Taz. It's Adam. It's CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Adam?
Taz and Moose, what's happening?
What's up, buddy? Adam? What up? How you doing, bud?
Just driving to work, listening to you guys every morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Adam. Thanks for tuning in, man.
Hey, Sam Darnold. Mm. I mean, at the beginning of the game last night, I mean, Demaryius Thomas dropped the first down pass on the sideline. He looked like he was somewhat okay at the beginning of the game, but I guess, like you said, he got rattled
throughout
the game. But they didn't help him much on wide receiver.
No, they didn't, or blocking, or picking up a blitz. Like the blitz, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not on him as far as the blocking scheme to pick up a blitz, right? But,
right.
Yeah, he just, you know, he's got to try and move his feet. I mean, it's easy to armchair quarterback. Roll it to the outside, throw the ball to the sideline or something. But, again, we're doing that. I'm telling you that from a studio. I'm not on the field. It's a little bit different deal, right?
But you were right about Demaryius Thomas. He's got to make that catch. He didn't get a lot of help. And I get it, but his decision-making was terrible.
It's just hard to believe he goes from the Dallas game to the Jets game and just that much of a difference.
Right.
Yeah, well, what it shows you, here's what it showed you. The Patriots basically said, we're going to gamble that you can't pick up our blitz when we send it, and we're going to make you rush the throws, and we don't feel like you will adjust, Taz. And that's the thing you get on Gase about is, you know, once you start seeing the zero coverage, Adam, thanks a lot for the call, the zero coverage and the blitzes, Taz, You got to run shorter routes.
I know.
I mean, it can't be running down the field. Darnold doesn't have time. I mean, and then he's throwing the ball before the guy's even turning around. And you have Gilmore making the interception. It's just terrible.
How about this? I'll put a youth football hat on here. A youth football coaching hat. Okay, you have a team that's blitzing nonstop. A middle school coaching hat. You run a draw. Hey, guess what? You got a guy named Le'Veon Bell who's a pretty dang good running back. Run a draw. That'll slow down the blitzing. It's simple football. Run some screens or attempt to it. It'll slow down the blitz. You know, I mean, I understand we're talking about Bill Belichick's defense. I got it. It's still, look, what happens is if those who didn't play football, if it's a blitz, okay, the defensive players, the linebackers, the D-backs, they're coming full speed. So you run a draw, now that catch them because they're coming full speed. The blocking lets them in a little bit as you do a quick handoff to the running back who's next to the quarterback. That then the next plays will slow down the blitz. That's all. It just trains them. They kept trying to throw the ball deep, like you said earlier.
It didn't work. And the other, Ryan Khalil should have stayed retired.
Man, that snap, he had to kick the safety, bounce it
out of bounds. I mean, Khalil's been terrible. Horrible. I mean, he has been atrocious. Now, he got paid, Taz. You know, they just paid him like $7, $8 million to come out of retirement. But he has been atrocious at the center spot. He really has been. He cashed in one last year to cash in no long-term investment emotionally whatsoever. And I'm not saying he's dogging it. He just looks awful.
Right.
He looks awful.
I agree with you. And, you know, I remember talking about this a few weeks ago with you. And the Jets, no matter how bad their teams have been over the years, they've always had good centers.
Yeah,
Kevin Mawai, a great center. Nick Mangold, a great center. You know, those guys were legit. You know what I mean? Like, great players. And this guy here comes out of retirement. Yeah, it's a bad deal.
He's no Mawai. Mawai was great. Mangold was great. Yeah. But no, Khalil was great in Carolina. Not with the Jets.
I didn't watch halftime, but didn't they do something for Mawai at halftime? The Jets.
Did they put him in the Ring of Honor?
I could have sworn I saw him like in a sports jacket on the field. Did they see something there?
You're correct.
Yeah,
I am correct. Honor. Thank you, Andrew. I am correct. Thank you.
Very nice.
I'm assuming you're correct.
Wait a minute.
No, you're incorrect.
Wait a second. What?
Wait a minute. You are correct. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you're always right.
Thank you.
That's what I meant.
I'll tell you what. I had a little incident in the den yesterday at the house.
Which den?
Mine.
Upper or lower?
Lower. Man, I got up. We got this new couch, this new leather couch system with this gigantic ottoman. You could sleep five people on it. And it's got these thick, heavy molded wood bottoms.
Right.
And I didn't realize, because it's a lot bigger than the old ottoman we had.
Right.
So I get up, I'm like, yeah, and I'm starting to walk into the kitchen. And I stubbed my big toe, my left. Oh, man.
Broke the couch?
No, broke my...
Blood?
Blood, yes. Blood, nail split.
Cracked you made a couch bleed?
Oh, that's tough.
Oh, my God.
Band-Aid.
Yep, Band-Aid. Slight tears.
Oh, yeah, that hurts.
As my wife's telling me, toughen up.
Yeah, that hurts, though.
She goes, I've seen you get destroyed with metal objects in a ring. I'm like,
it's amazing what a cracked nail will do on the big toe.
Oh, my God, dude.
And the blood it'll cause. Yeah, that's a bad one. Yeah, that's a bad one.
I don't care. Look, I'd rather get hit with a steel chair because I know how to do that than this. It sounds crazy, but it really hurts. So right now, my toe is bandaged up, swollen. That's probably why I'm a little angry today. Usually
you're like a ray of sunshine.
Absolutely. That's my gimmick. Yeah. Look who just walked in.
What's up, Andy?
Oh, hey, guys.
Hello.
Al, good morning.
Hello.
So there were people. Some of them,
Al. I'm looking for Al Dukes.
No. Weird Al.
I got it.
There were people who know football, who cover football, not just Jet fans, who thought the Jets could beat the Patriots on Monday Night Football. They were very, very wrong.
Shotgun snap, drops back three, goes arching spiral down the middle. It's intercepted! A leaping, backpedaling, falling down, Daron Harmon, end zone interception by New England. Third, Jet turnover. Second, interception thrown by Darnold, and the Patriots have held him again. Four drives, three turnovers. An utter disaster.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One.
Paints a nice picture.
Yeah, it was. It got a little worse as well. Six total giveaways from Gangrene
last night. That time I might have went to music.
five of them from their sophomore QB, Sam Darnold, all on a 33-0 shaming at home.
When we go back and look at this, he's not going to be happy.
Adam Gase's offense managed just 12 first downs, 154 yards, while scoring 2 points for the Patriots when an errant snap from the aforementioned Ryan Khalil led to a safety. The New England offense included 3 short TD runs from Sony Michel. They are 7-0 for the third time in team history. Up next, the Browns on Sunday afternoon. Lions running back Kerryon Johnson reportedly out indefinitely with the right knee injury he suffered in Sunday's loss to the Vikings. The Raiders traded former first-round pick corner Garyon Conley to the Texans yesterday for a third-rounder. And the Panthers will start young QB Kyle Allen Sunday against the Niners. They are 4-0 under Allen while Cam Newton recovers from his left foot injury. Newton's rehab continues for now, said head coach Ron Rivera. It's opening night for the World Series. Astros, Nationals, Game 1 in Houston, 7:08 Central. Gerrit Cole and Max Scherzer on the mound. And it's opening night in the NBA. The Pelicans in Toronto, then the Lakers and the Clippers. However,
it's back, huh?
It's back, but not yet featuring Zion Williamson. Yeah. He just had surgery for a torn meniscus in his right knee. Zion
You guys excited it's back? 6 to 8 weeks he's out, right. Mm. You guys excited he's back? Yeah, that basketball's back?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I like the NBA.
Yeah.
I like basketball.
No, you're not?
I'm more of a football guy. I want football to last longer. I why is Adam Gase's name trending, by the way? But anyway.
Did you watch Monday Night Football?
Yeah. I guess. Maybe it's the chewing tobacco comment. I love the NBA like everybody else, but I'm more of a NFL fan, so once the NBA starts coming, I'm like, oh, God, here we go. We're wrapping up football, and it's depressing. That's it. That's how I feel. Yeah, that's my honest...
Like 3 months of football left still, though.
Still have a ways to go. Plus, the product's been so great.
Mm, yeah.
You got Maction tonight? You got, like, Buffalo, Central, Ohio, anything like that going on you can watch tonight?
No, what I'm going to watch is actually myself on YouTube.
Oh,
that's what I'm going to watch
on
AEW Doc, which I'll promote again later, which is 7 p.m. Eastern, okay, on YouTube, AEW Doc, with yours truly doing color commentary with my friend Excalibur. That's what I'm going to watch.
Awesome. Okay?
And then I'll watch the World Series right after that. How's that?
Okay.
That's what I'm watching, okay?
I'm excited for the Milan watch party tonight.
I'm not watching Mac Action watch party.
We are. AEW Dark
you said
with
right,
Pilates.
So. Yeah, you said it. Mm. Yeah. You don't want to do anything
after dark.
You don't want to do anything dark with Pilates. The room I've heard.
No. Tell me about it.
Celtics guard Jaylen Brown, one of the players from the 2016 draft class that signed an extension to his rookie contract by yesterday's deadline. Brown got 4 years and $115 million. DeJounte Murray in San Antonio, Torian Prince in Brooklyn also did the same. Michigan State's number one in the AP's preseason college basketball poll for the very first time. Now, you might have been wondering, like me, Magic's 1978-79 team opened at number 7 that season. And hockey last night, the Blues snapped their 4-game slide 3-1 over the Avalanche. That's Colorado's first loss in regulation this season, guys.
All right. Both of you guys still have Twitter accounts, right?
Yeah.
You ever have a... I just had to notice this yesterday. I was following about 4 or 5 people that I never heard of in my life, and I don't know why I'm following. I think there's something going on where there's like some more... I thought maybe one of you guys would know. There's some kind of an automatic thing that's making you follow people you don't want to follow, or like you didn't look to follow.
I don't know. I haven't heard about that.
Just keep an eye on that, everybody out there in the Twitterverse. Keep an eye on it. Just telling you what happened to me.
All right. I didn't hear about that.
So you got to be careful. Just be careful, Moose. I'm just telling you.
We've heard followers going away, right?
Yeah.
What was that? The bots, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing I've heard of but I've not heard about all of a sudden people popping up and following.
And you can buy followers.
You can buy followers.
Mike
right,
does that. Mikey B.
Yes, he does, right.
Smart. It's for business.
Right. It's not like I'm all of a sudden following some French soccer player that I didn't follow.
He's following. Mike's being to like a... It's a new escort Twitter service. You just basically pay for followers.
In fact, instead of getting actual tips for Uber Eats, you can just get followers. Thanks for paying followers.
Thanks for putting me over.
Mike, as long as you're referenced, you're being put over.
There you go.
Let's not be hypersensitive because I'll throw my laptop at the TV. Okay? How's that?
We're going to get into a little NBA. We're going to talk about the Zion Williamson knee injury, what it means to the Pelicans here moving forward, and certainly for the NBA as it is opening night in the NBA. We'll get into that next. Yeah. It's Taz and the Moose with you on a Tuesday morning right here on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Our Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. This week it's Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers threw for 429 yards, 5 touchdowns as the Packers took down the Raiders 42-24 out at beautiful Lambeau Field. The Player of the Week was brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. You got a doubleheader tonight as the NBA gets going. Raptors entertaining the Pelicans up there in Toronto. Your defending NBA champs. Obviously, they look distinctly different with Kawhi Leonard, now a member of the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Lakers and Clippers doing battle. If you're up late on the East Coast, out in Los Angeles at the Staples Center, the Clippers are the home team, the Staples Center home for both of those squads. It's going to be Lakers and Clippers out there in Los Angeles, Taz. And, you know, Bogus mentioned the Zion Williamson injury out the next 6 to 8 weeks for, you know, the super rookie coming out of Duke, who kind of grabbed this nation by its ears a year ago with all the attention. And, you know, those that were critical of Zion coming into the NBA in terms of the style and fashion which he plays the game, he's not going to be able to physically hold up. Well, they've got a check mark in their column because he's hurt before game one of his initial rookie campaign down in New Orleans, and he's going to be out for the next 6 to 8 weeks. And that's what stinks. I mean, it really is, because, you know, the association certainly has had a an interesting offseason, you know, a tumultuous last couple weeks with everything that went down over in China and the fallout from there and the financial hit that it took after the tweet by Daryl Morey, the Rockets general manager, and then the reaction and the lame reaction he got from multiple guys like Adam Silver and LeBron James. And now you look at it, it's opening night. I mean, who would want to see Zion Williamson tonight up in Toronto taking on the Raptors? And you're not going to get it, and he's going to be out a while. And what you hope is that this is not a precursor of things to come for Zion, that he's not going to have kind of one of those injury-plagued careers. You hope that's not the case. He couldn't get through a year healthy at Duke. Now he goes to the NBA, and he's hurt before his first game in his rookie year for New Orleans.
Yeah.
That's a problem as well. And for a guy that everybody wants to just watch play basketball, I mean, that's a brutal hit.
And no, I completely agree. And also, I mean, in the beginning of the summer league, right? We're just a few minutes into the game, right?
Yeah, good point.
He got hurt there. I mean, so, and it was, I think it was a bruised left knee, I think it was then too. So all right, so look, I actually had this same surgery. I had a torn meniscus, okay? And I think that's what he has. Yeah, he has a torn meniscus. This is right knee, though, okay? He's probably getting a scope. That's what they're not doing. They're doing arthroscopic surgery, not orthopedic surgery, which it's a lot less of a big deal. 6 to 8 weeks for a scope, I guess, you know, is probably average. I would think a little less for the average person, but the average person is not 6'6", 285 pounds. You know, he's a big guy. He's a big, thick kid. And, you know, he's got big joints and big muscle mass and a lot of weight on those joints. That's why he's got to make sure he keeps his weight in check while he's out. Okay, well, those 6 to 8 weeks, because he's not going to be able to do any cardio work. He's going to rehab his knee. So he's got to watch his diet, like, big time. And I'm sure the Pelicans will be all over him about that. It's an important thing that no one talks about. Because he's so big and thick, they've got to make sure he's not eating too much. Because, you know, you don't want to be too heavy. Because that's going to hinder him throughout the year. It's the beginning of the year. And he's a rookie. And like you said, this kid's a star. This is a guy that everybody's gravitating to. And all the things you laid out is perfect. But, you know, it's a thing where we've seen this kid get banged up before. I don't want to sit here and say, and I know you're not saying either, is he injury prone? I mean, it's too early to predict that. But, I mean, look, it's a scope, which normally isn't a big deal. He was out, what do you have, like knee soreness, so they kind of knew something was going on there.
Well, the knee soreness, right. He was dealing, so, I mean, the initial report is he's going to be out multiple weeks, right? 2 to 3 weeks, whatever, however you want to define multiple. It was kind of an undetermined timetable, and then all of a sudden it was a torn meniscus, and he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks and repair the surgery. Well, I mean, it's good that they caught it, right? I mean,
sure.
And that this didn't kind of linger, where he's out 2 to 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden they figure out that he's got a torn meniscus, and then he's out on 6 to 8 weeks on top of that, right? Then you're looking at a 9 to 10 or 11 week stretch where you're not going to have Zion Williamson on the court. So they caught it there, Taz, but, you know, when guys all of a sudden, and he's a, you ran through the size, you know, I think he's the heaviest player in the league at 285 pounds, right, or maybe the second heaviest player in the league given his size. You know, and he's not 7 feet and 7'1", right? He's not that kind of a guy. He's got a physical brand of basketball that he plays with. He's constantly, he's a guy that's attacking the rim, going at the rim. He's certainly got the hops. The one thing you don't want to have happen is that this becomes part of the Zion Williamson story. And those that wake up this morning for opening night of the NBA, Taz, and say, this is a precursor of things to come, well, you have an argument to be made because he couldn't get through a year at Duke healthy. And college basketball is nowhere near as physical as the NBA, nor is it as taxing as an 82-game NBA regular season, Taz. And he couldn't get through a Duke season healthy in college. Now he goes through it. He couldn't even get through, as you mentioned, the summer league and then preseason basketball. And he was great. You know, he shot 72% from the floor almost. He was averaging 23 points per game when he did play for New Orleans, but couldn't get through that healthy. So what would lead me to think that this is not going to be, and I hope it's not the case, but those are going to come out and say, listen, Zion's a wonderful basketball talent. He's a freaky-deaky athlete. Right. There's no doubt about it. But I, you know, he's great, but he's also a guy that I don't believe is going to be able to stay healthy for large stretches of the season because of the way that he plays the game.
Right, I think you're right. And what's going to happen.
And there's an argument, and people that say that, you know what? You might be right.
And here's the thing. No, I agree that he's going to get banged up a lot, and he's had knee issues. This goes all the way back to high school. He missed a few months in AAU ball. I mean, he did.
Yeah.
I mean, in 2017. So, and I think you nailed it. I think because the way he plays and with his size, because he's, like you said, he's not a 7-footer. So that all that body weight and that mass is not spread out amongst all this height. He's built like an NFL or a big D1 defensive end. That's how he's built.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And he plays like that. He plays ultra-aggressive. So Moose, to your point, maybe what he's got to do, and this is going to change the player he is change the way he plays.
Well, then I get to the question, Taz, Kenny. I mean, all of a sudden, because the criticism of Zion coming out was he didn't really shoot the ball from the outside well. He wasn't a great three-point shooter. He shot him on occasion, but he was more of a guy of, I'm going to drive it to the lane, take contact, get to the free throw line, and try and finish at the rim. Is he going to be able to adjust to where now he becomes not a complete outside shooter, but adds more of that to his arsenal in order to stay healthy on the court? But also, that's not the player New Orleans drafted, right? So, I mean, you don't want a guy that you look as this kind of wrecking ball, tour de force, physical freak that's going to the rim and can't be deterred in terms of getting to the basket, to now all of a sudden a guy that's settling for outside threes.
Well, no, exactly. Exactly. And listen, I'm going to tell you, this might sound crazy to some people, because when you look at Zion Williamson's body, and because of the way he does play, like you said, like a wrecking ball, he might not be a tough kid. Meaning his body might not be hardened. His body, he got hurt in the summertime. I think it was a knee to knee. That's how he got hurt with that left knee. I think it was a knee to knee in the summer league. I mean, look, that could hurt for sure. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe just because someone's big and muscular and plays aggressive doesn't mean that they. Toughness to me is what you can sustain, what you can take, what your body can put up with. Tom Brady doesn't look like a tough guy. He's a tough guy. He's been hit a lot his career, and he gets up. He gets up all the time. He's a tough, tough guy. He don't sound it. He don't look it. He don't act it. He's tough. I'm not saying Zion's not tough, but I'm just giving an example of how you can't judge a book. You know, with athletes sometimes.
Well, you know, and Taz, I look at it, and you describe it as toughness. I look at it as what the body can take. There are certain guys who's Eli Manning, whatever you want to say about Eli Manning, and you mentioned Tom Brady. Eli Manning's another example as well. Eli used to get, I mean, drilled.
Destroyed.
Right? Yeah, he was there every week.
Yeah,
that's never toughness. Never got hurt. He played hurt sometimes, but didn't have the broken clavicle, didn't have the big shoulder injury, didn't anything. His body was able to take the hits.
That's it.
And he was able to stay on the field.
That's my point.
Now, yeah, and that's the point. Now the question is, there are guys, Taz, we've run through the NBA, Greg Oden, Bill Walton. There are guys, when you look at the history of the league, of the association, that were remarkable basketball players. But never, and Walton had a great NBA, had a very good NBA career, but he was a legendary collegiate player at UCLA. Greg Oden's career never got going because of the injuries that he sustained.
Right.
For a guy that what was expected to be a transformational talent at the center spot coming out of Ohio State. Maybe it's a case for Zion Williamson. And maybe, listen, maybe I'm putting both cart before the horse, but maybe it's a case here with Zion Williamson, Taz, where he's not going to be, his body is not going to be able to hold up to what the NBA is asking him to do night in and night out. Maybe he's a guy that can only play 60 games in the course of the regular season, where you have to rest him 22 games in order to get the best out of Zion Williamson. Maybe he's not a 75-game-a-year guy.
Right.
Maybe he's not. Maybe his body's not going to be able to hold up. That's something that's yet to be determined. But I think those that are looking at him and say, listen, I don't know. He's a remarkable basketball player, but if he can't play, what does that really do for you? It doesn't really do all that
much
for you.
It looks good in a jersey.
Right.
I mean, that's it.
Or in a suit.
Or in a suit, right. Exactly. Well, you're right. So, I mean, you went through the whole thing about him when he was at Duke. He couldn't last 1 year. There's no, we have no body of work on this kid.
You brought up the AAU stuff.
Yeah, AAU, he got hurt. He got hurt at Duke. But I'm just saying, there's no body of work. There's, you can't say, like, back in the, all right, well, we've seen this guy play 3 years at Michigan State, or at, you know, at UVA, and or at Duke. So we know, all right, yeah, he is battle-tested. He's not injury-prone. Most of these guys is one and done. They're boom, 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 freshman Jones, they're in the NBA. So that's the case with him. No knock on the kid for that, but I'm just saying there's no body of work to defend him and say, no, Moose, hey, listen, he is a tough kid. No, he's been hurt before, and he keeps coming back, and he could last the whole year. We can't say that because he hasn't. And now, to the point you're making, he's going to be in there with grown-ass men that are the best athletes in the world, these NBA guys. And they are nasty.
Yeah.
And they're going to be gunning to bang him up. And that's how it's going to, this is not ballet, man, what these guys do.
No, it's not, Taz. And
no offense to ballet.
No, I get it. And he's not going to be able to intimidate guys.
No way.
When he was at
no
Duke, there were probably guys that stepped on the court and said, listen, I don't want to get embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on ESPN. Yeah. I don't want to get dunked on. I don't want to get pushed aside like I'm a six-year-old boy. You know, I don't want to be treated like a rag doll. None of that kind of stuff. He's not going to be able to do that in the NBA. You know, because when he steps on the court, those guys, you know, you're going up against 25, 26, sometimes, you know, 30-year-old grown men who
are elite-level
NBA players, Taz, that have attained a fair amount of success on their own, and they don't care what Zion Williamson did at Duke. Not saying that they're trying to do anything to him, but he's not going to be able to step on the court in his sheer presence, bring about an intimidation where guys are all of a sudden going to clear the lane. They're going to go after him.
And they want to humble him.
Yeah.
Moose, you know that. They want to humble him. It's just like you could go through Kyler Murray in the NFL. You know, Lord knows what these defensive players have been saying to him when they shut him down, or the Cardinals go three and out. They want to humble these guys. And that's what it is, because they got to bring it back down to earth, especially someone like this, like Williamson. What is he? Is he even 20 years old yet?
I mean, he's 19 years old? Maybe he turned 20. He's 19, I thought, but maybe he turned 20 years old.
So it's a shame for him that we've went through a litany of knee injuries that this kid had at 19. He's only 19 years old. He hasn't completed a season. He's 19, and he's had left knee, right knee. Now he's getting a scope on the knee for a torn meniscus. Again, a scope is not the end of the world. A zillion athletes. I've had three scopes. But it does weaken your joint a little bit and weakens other things in there. And you know, he's 6'6", 285. He's got to make sure he keeps his weight right, and hopefully he can battle back. I got to tell you, I hope I'm wrong, Moose. I'm going to make a prediction. When he comes back after the 6 to 8 weeks, Williamson, I don't think he completes the whole season. I don't. Yeah, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you might be. I mean, Taz, you might be right about that. That he doesn't. And you know, you hope he's not going to be there upon Anthony Davis's return down in New Orleans. He should be there when they play on Christmas Day for the New Orleans Pelicans. And Taz, you might be right. I mean, in honesty, I mean, I think that would probably be the betting favorite that he does not, even when he does come back, that his body won't hold up. It's a shame because
it
would have been nice to see him tonight, and you knew he wasn't going to play tonight before this surgery because you thought it was just general knee soreness. Now you get news of this surgery, and now you'll see him in a couple months,
which for
the league is not a good thing. Pigskin Pileup comes your way next. Taz Moose on Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.